Republicans have found themselves in quite the corner after Donald Trump decided to indict James Comey for the second time over some innocuous letters written on a beach in seashells that said 8647. We now have multiple examples of Republicans saying the same thing, 8646 in reference to Joe Biden at the time, or 86 this, 86 that. The Republican hypocrisy is off the charts. And at this very moment, the Democrats in the House Oversight Committee are currently trying to hold Pam Bondi for contempt because she did not show up to her court hearing. They tried to get her to sit down and testify, and she did not show up. So all I'm going to argue in this video is that if Republicans are going to hold us to these standards, if they're going to be throwing around indictments for letters and then not even going towards subpoenas themselves, not even showing up for subpoenas themselves, openly, blatantly violating the law, and then saying that James Comey is the one that needs to be thrown in jail, Obama is the one that needs to be thrown in jail, then let's apply the standards evenly. Mike Nellis, I'm happy to be with you today. Make sure everybody drop a like. Make sure you subscribe to both of our feeds below. Where do you want to jump in on this?
Well, I think you're right that the hypocrisy that we're seeing from the MAGA movement and the Republican Party is staggering right now. And you could kind of pick your flavor of how you want to talk about it today. But like, they spent years saying that you can't ever question a comedian's joke. And now they're suddenly trying to get Jimmy Kimmel fired. They spent years, attacking Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and everybody else over subpoenas. Now they're refusing to comply with subpoenas. They, by the way, have been refusing to comply with subpoenas for a very long time. I did a TV hit the other day where Jim Jordan spoke in front of me, and Jim Jordan refused to comply with the subpoena for the January 6th committee. And I know this is in intimate detail because Jim Jordan once subpoenaed me, and I basically told him to buzz off because I wasn't going to respect his subpoena power if he wasn't going to respect the rest of Congress's. So it's you just have a group of people that at the end of the day don't believe in anything. Their support for the Constitution is situational. The support for the things that they say is situational. And all they really want to do is make money, get access and proximity to power, and make Donald Trump happy. And so if you're Pam Bondi right now, who refused to testify and is now at risk of being held in contempt of Congress, you know, all she cares about is, am I going to get my pardon from Donald Trump? Is Trump going to be happy with me? So she's loyal to him, and she's been covering up for the Epstein files. And so they want you focused on James Comey writing 86 with seashells on a beach. But no, we should be focused on the abuse of little kids on Epstein's Island. We should be focused about the corruption that's happening in Washington right now, on real crimes, not stupid shit that the administration is wasting their time on right now.
Yeah, and that's what pisses me off. So I made a tweet the other day that says, MAGA authoritarianism is pretending that the president is joking around when he makes actual death threats. Right. But then comedians are shaping public policy when they make jokes. Now, that was in reference to Jimmy Kimmel and everyone going crazy over him, but it perfectly applies to Comey as well. I am so sick of the double standard that exists between parties. And I'll take it a step further. It's not just a double standard. It's the absolute blindness and lying from every single Republican operator in the party, digging their head in the sand, burying their head in the sand every single time Donald Trump sends out crazy posts about Robert Mueller, about Rob Reiner. We live in Chicago, and I will never forget the image of the President of the United States posting an AI photo. And it was of the Department of Defense, but in the photo it said, the Department of War is coming to Chicago. And it said, Chipocalypse Now. And Chicago was basically, there were big smoke clouds and fire.
He had dropped napalm on our city.
It was napalm on the city. And I remember being, are people going to talk about this? Like, am I going crazy here? Or is the president trying to declare war on his own city? Then he did. He sent the National Guard to Chicago. Then he posted an AI video of Obama being arrested. So again, MAGA authoritarianism is pretending that the president is just joking around whenever he's doing that. But then the moment that Jimmy Kimmel makes some sort of joke, the moment that James Comey decides to line up some seashells on a beach, all of a sudden, that is a level too far, man. Can you imagine seashells on a beach? It's not like the president of the United States is posting AI videos of every single Democrat basically in handcuffs or saying to hang the quote seditious six, which he calls them. Actually, it's just six different Congress members who said that you should not follow unlawful orders. There are so many different examples of Donald Trump pulling us down to the depths of hell with our political rhetoric. Most of all, lying to half the country and convincing them that the election was stolen, so much so that they wanted to hang the vice president. Listen, Democrats aren't perfect. I sometimes see Democrats, like not elected officials, but random people in the comment sections saying things with like four likes. And I'm like, oof, you shouldn't say that. But I'm talking about the Republican president of the United States and all of the Congress members who are following along. This is not a both sides issue. This is coming from the Republicans. So to wrap this up, when I see the Republican Party then try to use their power to go after James Comey and Jimmy Kimmel, it's kind of like in the same bucket if you think about it. They're trying to dissent or suppress dissent in any way that they can. They're trying to silence people who are making jokes or who are making comments that they deem unfavorable towards them. It's disgusting.
They are twisting themselves into knots trying to convince the American people that they're the only ones who experience political violence, that they're the ones that are constantly under attack. And it plays out in just a million stupid ways. Like you know, right now, Russell Brand is under serious, serious charges in the UK for abusing multiple women, six credible claims. And he's on Piers Morgan and Megyn Kelly and Tucker Carlson going, I'm being prosecuted for my conservative beliefs, which, by the way, only appeared after these allegations surfaced. So it's so situational. And if you look right now, and I debated Batya on News Nation. And for folks that don't know, I like Batya personally, but like she's very out there on stuff. Oh. Like she's working overtime right now, trying to unskew every survey, poll, study that's ever come out that shows that there is substantially more right-wing violence in America than left-wing violence.
There is.
There is. It's just objectively true. And like she believes that the Cato Institute, which is a nonpartisan libertarian-aligned organization that released the study in 2020 of right-wing violence versus left-wing violence, is somehow trying to like help the Democrats. Like, what are we doing here? It's just, it's ridiculous. And then in those instances where, and I think this ties neatly into the DOJ's abuse of power under Trump in particular, when there is an obvious example of right-wing violence, like let's say January 6th or Charlottesville, they will concoct some conspiracy theory and then work backwards to prove that it didn't really happen. Melissa Hortman is the other one, all right? And Melissa Hortman is a Democratic legislator who was assassinated alongside her husband at point-blank range by a three-time Trump supporter who had lost his goddamn mind. They all believe, and they will argue this with a straight face, that Tim Walz ordered the assassination of Melissa Hortman because he didn't vote the way that he wanted her to on an immigration bill 3 days earlier, which is batshit insane.
On the other side of that, sorry to cut you off. On the other side of that, they'll take a video of someone like looting a store during a Black Lives Matter protest and say, this is the entire Democratic Party. They say that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris personally called these people and told them to commit this violence. Therefore, it is left-wing violence when it's usually just opportunism. And we can point to so many different things. I've had debates about this, and I know that you have as well. And we've all pointed to these examples, and I wish they weren't, you know, just examples in a debate. It's disgusting that these things actually happen. But the Tree of Life synagogue shooting in Pittsburgh, 11 people died due to a far-right shooter. El Paso, Texas, somebody carved things into his gun and said he deliberately targeted, quote, Mexicans due to the Mexican invasion of Texas. Like, these are right-wing, far-right shooters. But as you said, they come up with conspiracy theories to obfuscate the dozens of examples that we have of this. Jumping back into where we were, sorry guys, the deep state cut that off for one moment. Make sure you do drop a like on the stream and subscribe to our feeds. One of the big problems that messes with me is the double standard, so much so that if some random person like slashes the tire of a Tesla, that's indicative of the entire elected left. But then when you have people like Randy Fine saying that Muslims don't belong in America, oh, he's just a little guy who doesn't really know what he's saying. When Donald Trump himself is saying that, you know, we should hang them, George Washington would, which is, by the way, like all the Republicans, when I post out, they'll say, oh, you don't think sedition should be punished with hanging? And it's like, no, I don't think the president of the United States should be prejudging people as guilty before proven innocent and then prescribing hanging as a punishment for that. I don't think the president should be saying that sedition is such a broad term that his political opponents just broadly fall into sedition. That is authoritarian, that is fascist, and that is called a death threat. Someone in chat named DisneyGirl99 said, Randy Fine can suck it. That is the type of energy that I like. Thank you, DisneyGirl99. Absolutely. And then they're going to say that that is some sort of call to violence. It's a phrase. Whenever you use some sort of phrase, they'll say, oh, you're calling to violence. Another really good example is that Hakeem Jeffries wrote in one of his posts, maximum warfare all the time, everywhere. And the Republicans went, oh, maximum warfare? He's calling for a civil war. And then they found that one of Trump's core advisors 2 years ago used this exact term. And that is where Hakeem Jeffries had pulled it off of. One of Trump's own advisors had used the term maximum warfare. And I guess this all kind of brings me back around to the James Comey indictment. This is the second time they've tried to indict James Comey, the former FBI director. And the first time it failed miserably. The first time, it was a part of a broader scheme to indict Letitia James, James Comey, and Adam Schiff. All of them fell apart. I want to remind you all that when Pam Bondi was the attorney general, Donald Trump sent out a Truth Social post, which will always be burned into my mind, just like that Chicago image. It will always be burned into my mind. This Truth Social post that says, Pam, I want you to indict these people. They're saying that you're not doing a good enough job. It was just the president blatantly pressuring his attorney general after years of us having to listen, or sorry, over and over here, Republicans say that Biden was weaponizing his DOJ, that Merrick Garland was this crazy freak. No. Pam Bondi and Donald Trump were doing it in front of our eyes, and I will never, ever, ever forget that. So Donald Trump sends out that post, and guess what? James Comey does get indicted. Letitia James does get indicted. Both of them get shot down due to dumb assery on behalf of the Trump admin. They appointed people with the wrong process. Lindsey Halligan forgot to attach one of the indictments. Lindsey Halligan was being kind of an idiot. Like all the pieces.
They lied to the grand jury.
They lied to the grand jury about how many indictments they were bringing, basically, and they had them sign off. They had the grand juror sign off on the wrong one. Which is absolutely absurd. So just a complete dereliction of duty, not going through the process, and it backfired. It ended up ruining their cases that were already bunked to begin with. But now they're back for a second time. And it's important to contextualize this because now that Pam Bondi is gone, the DOJ is seemingly, hypothetically, going to get more and more aggressive as Todd Blanche and whoever the next attorney general is steps in. So right now, the acting attorney general is Todd Blanche, and he's trying to prove to Donald Trump that he can do what Pam Bondi didn't, that he can essentially indict these people. And I think it's really worth pointing out too, sorry to yap for so long, but Pam Bondi is also about to be held in contempt. She was one moment away from being held in contempt, and we just now got this breaking news. She is actually going to be appearing on May 29th, 30 days from now, to testify in front of the Oversight Committee about the Epstein files. So the same attorney general that was going after people for dumb reasons and calling them illegal did an illegal action herself in the form of breaking this subpoena and hiding the Epstein files.
Yeah, they will argue with a straight face that this administration is independent from its DOJ and that James Comey is trying to threaten the assassination of the president of the United States by putting seashells on the ground, that Pam Bondi isn't really covering up the Epstein files, that, you know, the rest of us are all domestic terrorists, but anything that they say is not literal, it's just a joke, and everything that we say and do is absolutely literal, and the intent behind it is whatever they say that it is. It's just so ridiculous. And you brought up the Biden DOJ for a second. They acted like Merrick Garland was Emperor Palpatine killing the Jedi, right? Executing Order 66. DOJ under Merrick Garland prosecuted Joe Biden's own son for crimes, okay? Prosecuted Democratic Senator Robert Menendez, which I will remind people, as well as Henry Cuellar. Like, Henry Cuellar got a pardon from Donald Trump. His case never went to trial when it absolutely should have, because we should be rooting out the corruption inside the Democratic Party too. And frankly, I was disappointed with Democratic Party leadership for not calling that out, because even if you think Cuellar is innocent of the crimes, we should have let a jury decide that, not Donald Trump. And so we are living through the dumbest, most corrupt administration in American history. I'm certain that when Pam Bondi testifies, which you said is happening at the end of May, right? Is that the date? Was it May something?
May 29th, yeah.
May 29th. Like, she will embarrass herself on behalf of Donald Trump. She'll be screaming about the Dow being at 50,000 and all of that again. And she's not going to look at the Epstein survivors who she refuses to give justice to, who she's covered up for so many people who are pedophiles. And on that point for a second, if you watched Donald Trump's 60 Minutes interview Sunday night, when Nora O'Donnell read a portion of the alleged potential shooter's manifesto saying that he doesn't want pedophiles running the government, Donald Trump was very offended and upset about that. And then Republican influencers and these MAGA crooks online started arguing like, oh, you're not allowed to talk about the Epstein files anymore. Like, every time Thomas Massey and Mike Nellis bring up the Epstein files, you're putting Donald Trump in danger. And I'm like, if you guys want to stop being accused of being pedophile protectors, stop protecting pedophiles. All right. Because that's what you're actually doing. All right. They argue about so many things that aren't real. James Comey wants to assassinate Trump. Jimmy Kimmel's trying to stoke violence with a dumb joke about Trump's age and health. Mike Nellis is trying to get Donald Trump killed by saying he's a pedo, which I don't even really call Donald Trump a pedo because I don't know what Donald Trump has done or not done. But like, everything they say is not real, and everything I say is directly responsible for violence in America today. And I'm just sick of this shit. I'm absolutely sick of it, Adam.
They love the victimhood tour. Yes. I've maintained on my show that I do not think the shooting was staged, even as more and more evidence comes out.
I don't either. I do think they're using it in a really stupid way.
Of course, that's where I was going to go. Two things can be true, that it was real, but then they also immediately used it for opportunism, in the sense that off the back of it, they started pushing for this ballroom. Donald Trump went on this victimhood tour. I don't even think 60 Minutes should have given him this victimhood interview, sitting him down and letting him mope and cry for 30 minutes and then attack the reporter. And then Norah O'Donnell continues to go, well, I'm very glad that you showed up last night. It was very honorable. Like, get out of here. He just attacked you to your face and called you a disgraceful person. I do love the moment where, he talks about pedophilia and she's like, he's like, I'm not a rapist. I'm not a pedophile. She's like, oh, you think the letter was talking about you?
Yeah, that was great.
I didn't even mention your name and he fell right into the trap.
It was the definition of that meme where it's like this t-shirt that I'm wearing that says I'm not a pedophile is stoking a lot of questions that are answered by my t-shirt, whatever that meme is. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I remember that meme. It's really, really interesting that Donald Trump sat down, fell for that trap, and is now continuing to go on this victimhood tour. And we saw this. The right-wing chats absolutely had some coordinated effort to talk about 100%. The ballroom. I've never seen such a coordinated effort in this moment to try to push for a unified thing. They all wanted this ballroom to be built off of the back of Donald Trump being shot, not because they genuinely want that. You really think all of them wanted to message around the ballroom? They probably wanted to act like victims themselves. They probably wanted to be like, I've had a similar experience. But instead, there was clearly a top-down memo saying message around the ballroom, and then every single person from a Brylan Hollihan to, like, I don't know, Megyn Kelly to Andrew Colvett to the new Turning Point people, they're all just talking about they want the ballroom. It is pretty disgusting. And the opportunism, the victimhood tour that they're going on should not be welcome, because these conservatives have allowed our political rhetoric to get to this point. I'm just so sick of it. Every time I'm like debating these Republicans, they always say, why don't you lead the way and show them? Or they always go, well, maybe Trump, like, they try to imply that I or you or us as YouTubers are the people that should be setting the standard for how we play politics. I'll be saying that I don't like how Donald Trump is a radical, violent weirdo. And they'll say, oh, but you've done this. And it's like, yeah, I'm not the president of the United States. Right. You're going to hold me to the same standard. There's a clip of Scott Jennings saying, why don't you just apologize for what you've caused or whatever? And I'm like, me? What the fuck have I caused? I haven't done anything.
Right. Scott Jennings is such a douchebag. Like, I have nothing nice to say about that guy. And you clown him every single time the two of you are on TV together. I've been doing these debates. Like, I agreed this week to do two kind of long form, nice, polite podcasts with a conservative member of the MAGA movement. I did one with Batya, and then I did one with hasn't come out yet with our friend Brad Palumbo moderating it. And like, these people just have no understanding of how disconnected they are from the day-to-day lives of the American people. And what pisses me off is very much what you just said. We have a responsibility as Democrats to act as the adults in the room on basically everything. We have to tone down the rhetoric, but they don't have to tone down their rhetoric. We're the ones that have to keep the government funded, even though they're in charge. They never have to compromise with us. They get to act as irresponsibly as they want. They get to say whatever stupid thing that they want, but they're going to go highlight and grab one out of context clip from like one of us saying something stupid, and then suddenly the whole party has to answer for it. I mean, I did a whole segment on Jesse Waters' show once about whether or not Sidney Sweeney was a Nazi because of that stupid jeans ad. And there were like five people online who were like dumb college professors who were spending too much time on a really stupid jeans ad. And suddenly the entire Democratic Party has to answer for that. Yep. And by the way, for Fox in particular, that's the only way they'll book you. They won't book me to come on and talk about the economy. They won't even book me right now to come on and talk about Jimmy Kimmel, because they know that I'll eat them alive on that. But they'll do it when it's like something really stupid. Yep. And Newsmax is the same. Now I'll go in and derail the segment, and you can follow me on social later to find a segment I derailed yesterday on Newsmax about this stuff, because I basically like flayed them for spending time on stupid shit. But that's how it works in Washington. And then the corporate media is complicit in that. And I think it's important that we talk about it. The media treats politics like it's ESPN, right? Where it's, you know, Alabama is playing the Citadel and the Citadel has zero chance to win, but they still have to create content. So they're out there talking about the Citadel has this great quarterback and blah, blah, blah. It's the same dumb, stupid approach to journalism that they do for sports, that now they do it for politics. So it's both sides are the same. But really there's like advantages and disadvantages to it. So you have to like treat the Democrats in a different light because the Republicans are so irresponsible and they spend all of their time working the refs. So what did they do? Their immediate reaction to Charlie Kirk assassination and then to whatever the hell happened on Saturday at the White House Correspondents' Dinner was, we have to silence the Democrats. We can shame them so that they won't attack our president because he's actually doing a great job. And if it would just, if the media would just start reporting it right, and if Adam Mockler would stop being mean to Donald Trump on CNN, the American people would know that we're living in a golden age today. No, we're not. Like, this country is veering into a ditch. It's already in the ditch, frankly, and we're like trying to drive even deeper into it. And they want to work the refs, and it isn't going to work. It just isn't going
to
work.
Yeah, I wanted to build on your point with a really good example. This clip was driving me a little bit crazy. Dana Bash asked Jamie Raskin on CNN the other day, "You and your fellow Democrats have used some heated rhetoric against the president. Do you think twice about that when something like this happens?" Raskin goes, "What rhetoric do you have in mind?" And she goes, that he's terrible for the country and so on and so forth.
Really?
Really? We can't even say that Donald Trump is terrible for the country without getting called out. Do you really want to use this type of rhetoric, son? Do you really want to say that Trump is terrible for the country? And then you open up Trump's True Social and he's like, "A whole civilization will be ended tonight after we arrest Obama and after the seditious six are hung like George Washington would." Right.
Yeah.
Like Cash Patel, before he was appointed FBI director, had like a fucking catapult in front of Congress, and he took a pumpkin and he put Adam Schiff's head on it and then he flung it out, which is basically like simulating like a medieval death scene for Adam Schiff.
I mean,
and
it's
we were
not
all just
even,
like, okay.
It's not even about the direct call to violence either. It's about the fact that Donald Trump has created a political environment in which he has separated half of the country off into an alternate reality where elections are stolen. Yes. All courts and judges need to be taken care of. Mike Pence didn't do it, needed to be done. If you're not true MAGA, then you should be out of the movement. And the Supreme Court is also rigged. He tries to intimidate.
Can I just say one thing, though, before we get too far away from it? It's not half the country. It's not.
Oh, yeah,
sometimes
right.
It feels like it is because of the way the media reports on it, the way Republicans act, the fact that Elon Musk has polluted X. 70-80% of Americans hate this shit, okay? Trump's approval rating is at 30% right now amongst most adults. If you look at it, Democrats are poised to win the midterms with a massive margin. There's a poll out today. Democrats have a 10-point lead in the generic ballot. The vast majority of Americans are still attached to reality. Now, they might not like Democrats. They might be mad at us. They're trying to figure out who's better for the economy. I understand that as much as it irritates me sometimes, but the average person is trying to figure it out. But don't let them gaslight us into believing that MAGA is even any more than like 25% of this country at most.
Very true, very true. But like the point is, it creates a lot of violence and chaos when even a quarter of the country are split off into this alternate reality where they don't believe in free and fair elections. They don't believe anything can truly be legitimate. And it's scary. Donald Trump is the ultimate singular purveyor of this type of radical diversion from reality. And that needs to be called out. The idea that like Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer are radicalizing people, the idea that even AOC is radicalizing people, I mean, who's the farthest left person in Congress? It would arguably be Bernie Sanders based on reality. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders isn't radicalizing people. The way that Donald Trump speaks about his political opponents is if he doesn't want them to exist. He doesn't want the Democratic Party to exist. I think we could wrap it up there if you have some final words, but I just want one more call to action.
Sure.
If you appreciate the work that independent media does in calling this out and making sure that we are hitting you with facts, 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 you can subscribe to the Substack that you're watching now. You can tap the heart, tap the like on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube as well to both Mike and I. And
No, I mean, they'll argue with a straight face that like Hakeem Jeffries is radicalizing Americans, which is so stupid. Or they'll go after like Hassan Piker and like, look, Hassan has said things that I don't particularly care for, but like Hassan is not radicalizing people to go attack the president of the United States. But then in the same vein, like Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and all these other influencers are saying crazy shit. And J.D. Vance basically got clowned by Nick Fuentes when Fuentes attacked his wife. Yeah. So they won't stand up to the people in their party. And the media is complicit in creating this tit for tat environment. It is not the same. When this shooting happened or whatever you would describe it, this incident happened at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, every single Democratic member of Congress from Hakeem Jeffries to Mike Nelson, Adam Mockler to AOC and Bernie Sanders decried the violence, said, "Don't do this. We don't want this." And you have a right. And I'll leave it at this. You have a right in this country to criticize the president of the United States. He is not a king. He is not above reproach. And the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is now, in my opinion, a complete and total joke of what it used to be, it existed as a celebration of the First Amendment with a clear example of how you can criticize the president. You would invite a comedian who would come in and flay the president of the United States in front of the American people. And even George W. Bush, who was a terrible, awful president, sat for an hour and took every lump he could from prime Stephen Colbert in the midst of the Colbert years. And people should go watch it because it was great. Donald Trump won't sit and be made fun of in front of a comedian. He has to have a mentalist there that can do cool tricks in front of him so they can go ooh and ah. So he's eroded all of that. And it is now the perfect example of how it's broken because the media is protecting and propping up this president, whether they mean to or not. And Trump still complains and attacks them because they're not reporting him favorably enough, because they don't open every show by going, "Welcome to the golden age of America. Today, the stock market is up 5,000%, even though the average American is no longer really truly invested in the stock market anymore because it's all so skewed. So we should reject this. We should continue to invest in independent media, because the only thing that's going to save us, it's not going to be CBS. It's not going to be CNN. Happy to go on and do those shows and give my point of view on it. It's going to be independent media that saves us. So support Adam Mockler. Support me, Mike Nellis. Support your favorite independent journalist. If it's Parnas or Don Lemon or a friend, Katie Fang, like support them, because we need your help, because there's nobody big backing us right now. Like, we don't have a billionaire or a foreign government with deep pockets helping us build this. Adam Mockler built a 2 million person audience on YouTube, and he did it on his own, basically. Obviously, we have people that help us, but mm-hmm. he did it himself without a big money backer behind him. And because of that, he can speak truth to power. I'm doing the same thing. We need you guys. And I appreciate every single one of you who watches, engage, hypes, and becomes a part of this movement. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you all.
Thanks, Adam.